if you can imagine, the river essentially had no treatment for the discharges. So the wastewater discharge was essentially basically a way to dispose of raw wastewater. And really a lot of Orsenka's initial focus was on really facilitating wastewater treatment up and down the river.
So what is the focus today?
Well, our focus continues to be on water quality, and that's really the emphasis for our organization. We are a water quality organization, and we work through our member states. We are our member states. So the member states have pledged to work together to control pollution, to improve the condition of the river, and also to maintain the condition of the river. And so the states come together and work through Orsenko, and then our staff really does a lot of excellent scientific work on the river. We work with the utilities, and we work with emergency responders, and anytime there's a spill on the river, we're going to be involved, and we're going to be making sure that the utilities are protected, and then we're doing everything we can do to work with them so that the impact of the spill is minimized.
As we sit here today looking out over the river, essentially how polluted is the river?
Well, the river's made a remarkable comeback. When you think about 70 years or so ago, virtually no wastewater treatment, very, very few pollution intolerant species of fish. We've seen just a remarkable turnaround. Now bacteria levels are improving. Wastewater treatment throughout the river. All the utilities provide not only a primary treatment but secondary treatment, and so it's really improved greatly. All of the discharges are now permitted, go through a rigorous process, so the water quality is significantly better. And a lot of folks will, as we're looking through the river flowing by here, John, you see the kind of the muddy color. Well, that's exactly what it is. It's sediment. And so a lot of folks will mistakenly say that, well, it's dirty. Well, that's just the nature of the body of water, but it's a remarkable resource. It's remarkable for recreation, drinking water supply. There are areas all across the country and the world, for that matter, that would just do about anything to have a body of water like this in their backyard.
Just because it's brown doesn't mean it's dirty, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. We've had a lot of rain, and you're going to get a lot of runoff during those high precipitation periods.
So you say, obviously, over the past 70 years, pollution levels have decreased. What about in recent years? Have we seen improvements continuing, or is there still a lot of work to do?
There's certainly work to do. When you go from basically no treatment to really advanced treatment, that's going to be an amazing turnaround. It's going to be really hard to duplicate that improvement through the next 70 years. And things are getting more challenging. We're aware of a lot more contaminants. The industry, the technology is such that we can measure parts per trillion and detect things at such levels that it's even hard to understand what the impact is of those contaminants. So there's certainly challenges, but all in all, what I like to really do is focus on the improvement. And it's through organizations like Orsenko that really are collaborative, facilitative bodies that I think that it's going to be a really bright future.
Essentially, these days, what are the main causes of contaminants and pollution in the river?
Well, the Ohio River is almost 1,000 miles long, and so it really varies. When you get to the upriver, the headwater areas, there's a lot of industry, a lot more industry. So there's different challenges in that area. They may be more or higher levels of industrial type discharge contaminants, where now we're in the heart of the agricultural industry, and so there's sediment, there's challenges with nutrients, and so certainly it can vary, but all in all, I think one of the challenges is what's called non-point pollution or runoff. It's really hard to control that, and really when you look at nutrients, well over half, probably two-thirds of the amount of nutrients that come into the river are from non-point sources, agriculture, and they're working hard to develop best management practices, but it's really really challenging to figure out how best to work with that industry.
As you say, challenges vary all along the river, which is understandable. It's almost 1,000 miles long. Here in the Evansville area, what are some of the major issues or the major challenges?
Well, really, between here and the falls of the Ohio as you get towards Louisville, we're seeing an increase in invasive species. When you look at silver carp or Asian carp, I mean, we're seeing increasing numbers of those. And they can compete for the habitat food sources with other species, our native species. And so that's something we're watching. And certainly sediment continues. We're continuing to watch nutrients, although generally speaking, the river is in pretty good shape. Really, as I mentioned earlier, the legacy pollutants around PCBs and dioxins, bacteria are really the only contaminants for which the river is listed in terms of not meeting its programmatic or designated uses.
Recently, Orsenko announced that the group is planning to eliminate its pollution control standards and then canceled that move. Exactly why was that considered, and why was that move, shelved?
The thought was that Orsenko's standards might have become redundant, and there is a level of redundancy to the program. The states all have to have their own permitted programs through the MPDES discharge system, which is the Clean Water Act mechanism for permitting discharges, and so the EPA reviews the state's programs. Well, Orsenko also has standards, which are only for the Ohio River. Through the review, we received a number of comments, and this is the way a review is supposed to work. The commission listened to the comments and really stepped back, and last October, rather than moving forward with the notice proposal, stepped back and, using its Pollution Control Standards Committee, decided to really start from the drawing board. We're in the midst of another review that would keep the program, but it would make it more flexible for the states to use as needed, and we would focus on the bottom line conditions of the river.
As I understand it, Orsenko standards are sometimes more stringent or different from state standards. So how does Orsenko enforce your standards if they are, in fact, different from the state standards?
Well, Orsenko's compact, which was finalized in June of 1948, does give Orsenko pretty strong enforcement capabilities. But that is a tool of the member states working together. And so because of the Clean Water Act and the state programs, the states are the vehicle for enforcement.
Now, the river sweep, that's an event that Orsenko is well known for. We've got one coming up just a couple of months away, right?
We do. It's coming up on June 15th, and we had about 6,000 volunteers last year. And it really shines a focus on the river and the need to protect it, to take care of it. And so we pick up tons of litter. It's really an exciting event. We try to make it family-friendly and weather permitting. We're looking forward to another great event.